The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM,
another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, it was a rumor yesterday, and now today it's true. John Gruden wants Nathan Peterman and wants him bad. Sign him to the practice squad, and it's only a matter of time before John Gruden turns Nathan Peterman into an NFL quarterback again. Oh, this is so juicy. It's unbelievable. Nathan Peterman, who I think we all agree doesn't deserve to be playing in the NFL, is getting another chance because one guy one time thought he was awesome. And that's where I think ego plays into a factor here. But in 2010, I remember making the comment on the air that I got ripped apart for at the station I was working at by the other host. And I said that Tim Tebow was going to be a first round draft pick in the NFL. And my colleagues misconstrued what I said because at the time everybody was saying, oh, Tebow can't throw an NFL pass and he's not going to be, you know. And they thought that I evaluated Tim Tebow as an NFL first round pick, which I did not do. My point was that I thought in the NFL, you'll have 32 teams, 32 coaches, 32 GMs. Somebody in that group is going to think, nope, I'm the guy that's going to turn Tim Tebow into a star. I'm the guy that's going to make Tim Tebow an NFL player. Everybody says he can't. I say he can. And I knew there was one of them. Now, at the time, my bet was it was going to be Belichick with a late pick. I didn't know it was going to be Josh McDaniels, but it was close. McDaniels coming from that same cloth. So again, my point wasn't that Tim Tebow was going to be phenomenal. It was just that I thought ego would play a factor. And that's what I think is going on here with Gruden, is that Gruden liked this guy. Right, he said before the draft in 2017 that he liked him. He said he's ready to walk in and be a contributor from day one. Okay, so Gruden is probably the one guy that said, wait a minute, when everybody says no, I'll say yes. When everybody says he can't, I'll say he can. I'll still say he can't. And Gruden, I don't think he'll turn him around. But I think that's what is playing a factor here, is that ego is playing a factor here. Gruden wants to stand by his statement, and he wants to make this guy a quarterback in the NFL when nobody can, and he thinks he can, and it's just going to be fun, let's be honest. Unless, of course, this is another way to spiral this organization out of control, which is also a possibility.
Are you wearing your hat too much to cover that hairline?
Well, yes, I am.
Go to forhims.com/cheer for help. That's forhims.com/cheer. You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, looking for the perfect gift for that someone in your life that can't sleep? Are they losing sleep and you're just losing your mind trying to figure out what to get them? Look at the perfect gift. MyPillow has got two premium MyPillows and two go-anywhere pillows for half price right now at MyPillow.com. Use the promo code winner. Use the promo code winner and you're going to get two premium MyPillows and two go-anywhere pillows for half the price plus free shipping. I've been using MyPillow now for like 2 months and it's been fantastic. And you get a really good night's sleep because of the patented foam fill. Keeps your head in place, you're locked in, you're staying asleep, you're not tossing and turning because your pillow is not getting out of shape. That's one of the reasons when your pillow gets out of shape and you have to reshape it, you're up and you fail to get out. You got to get out of that REM sleep that you desperately need to be rested. So MyPillow is made right here in the USA. It's 100% machine washable and dryable, and it comes with a 10-year warranty. You got nothing to lose. So again, go to MyPillow.com right now. You can get two premium MyPillows and two go-anywhere pillows for half price. Plus, they've extended their money-back guarantee until March 1st. Use that promo code WINNER, and you'll get a better night's rest right away with MyPillow. Go to MyPillow.com today, or you can call them if that's what you'd like to do, 800-513-3363, 513-3363. Or again, go to MyPillow.com. Don't forget to use the promo code WINNER. All right, so let's get back to this Gruden-Peterman thing, because the Slate had a really good article on this, and the title of it is, John Gruden and Nathan Peterman are playing chess when everyone else the NFL is playing football, which is a really good title. What are we doing here, Oakland? I mean, this is insane. Now I did state, I think this is Gruden's ego getting in the way of a good story, to be honest with you. But the reality of it is that I think Gruden is thinking I can when everybody can, but I also think he's in that position of, what the heck? I'm reshaping this whole thing anyway. I might as well keep myself in the news.
I think Gruden's looking at this like, this is the best chance for me to rebuild the Raiders once they move to Vegas.
Yeah, get Nathan Peterman as my starter.
He's guaranteed to get you a low draft pick.
Right.
The next couple of seasons.
That's got to be it.
You know,
going to be a 5-year rebuilding plan here.
It's beyond me to think that this is the guy.
This is the guy.
Yeah. Has he not watched film?
And Nathan Peterman's got to be like, my God, how in the world did the stars line up for me? Like, unbelievable. I can't get out of this league if I tried. Like, I'm throwing interceptions, trying to get on with my life. And people keep giving me this money to keep staying in this league. I mean, look, he's a practice squad guy, but that's still good money. It's still better money than layman out there.
Hey, listen, I mean, he's made enough money to provide a comfortable life for him and, you know, his immediate family. And That's all you really ever hope for to get out of a professional career. I mean, unless you're a player who, you know, is really, really decent and, you know, you want longevity in the NFL. But he can't be serious thinking he has longevity.
Oh, right.
Well, so he's got to be satisfied with like, hey, you know what? I signed a couple contracts here and there. I made some decent cash. I'm not getting my brains beat in day in and day out. It's a win-win.
You think his agent was like, after he got cut from Buffalo, his agent was like, all right, this is where we part company. Thanks for everything. And Nathan's like, okay, well, great. I'll be selling
apparently
real estate soon. Apparently not.
He has the same agent. Maybe he has the same agent as Sam Bradford, because Bradford seems to keep getting paid no matter where he goes. And Bradford hasn't proven himself in years.
His agent was probably like, hey, Nathan, how are you? Oh, I'm good. What's going on? You're never going to believe this. I got you a job in the NFL. I mean, Peterman must have been like, yeah. Good. Or maybe Peterman was that ego, you know, guy, you know, that's competitive and is like, hey, I'm in the league. I know I can be in the league. I know I can play in this league.
See, it's
even
one
though
thing,
statistically shows I can't.
It's one thing where it's a situation where a player is, you know, a team is desperate for a player. Like we're seeing, you know, Josh Johnson got signed by the Redskins. Why? Because, you know, all their quarterbacks got injured. Nathan Peterman is being asked to join teams when they don't really, you know, by a team that doesn't really need a quarterback right now.
No, no.
He's being asked, like, hey, just come on board.
But there's a reason, and this is where, like, at the nuts and bolts of this story is John Gruden signed a player he liked before the draft to the practice squad. And so that to me says ego all over it. Like, that to me says, I'm going to attach myself to a guy I've publicly praised before his entrance into this league. Whereas everybody is seeing a guy that can't play in the NFL. I see a guy who I believed could, and I still think can. Because other than that, this is not news other than Peterman stinks at playing quarterback in the National Football League. Like, if Peterman hadn't played much with Buffalo, all right, whatever. It's a guy, you know, we haven't really seen him. But we've seen now enough of this to know that we're all universally in agreement that this guy shouldn't be on a football field. And the only guy that is saying, yes, come play on the practice squad and eventually be part of what we're doing here, get at least compete next year and all of that, is Oakland, is the one guy that praised him before the draft. I mean, Peterman is, what, how old's Peterman? 23, 20? Because he's only been in the league a year or two, right? That's it. So he's 24, 25. I mean, that's still young enough to maybe if you find the right person to turn it around. But I mean, that's a lot of turning around. I mean, he looks like he looks like when he got into the league, when he was playing, you know, with the Bills and throwing all those interceptions, like somebody made a huge mistake and he was getting like a free NFL job for, you know, because he won a contest or something, right? Like that's what it started to look like. I mean, it didn't look like we've properly evaluated this guy. This is what we think this guy can do, and we're going to give him every opportunity to succeed. Because remember, he played in the playoff game against Jacksonville where he was awful. He threw five interceptions in like first six passes or something. It was crazy. But the thing that got me in this offseason was when A.J. McCarron was there, and they were saying the best quarterback in Bills camp was Nathan Peterman. And I'm like, right. Wait, what? What are we talking about here?
I mean, doesn't it feel like Nathan Peterman is the kid from Nevada, Kevin Hart?
Yeah, right. They're kind of the same story, right? Yeah, you're right.
I mean, Kevin Hart, I mean, obviously nobody wanted Kevin Hart, but, you know, he fooled everybody thinking that he was a high recruit. And this is the same thing that's going on. It's like, you know, maybe you and I are wrong. Maybe Nathan Peterman is a quarterback. We just don't see it.
We
like
don't see
the rest of America.
Maybe so. Maybe that's it.
And maybe Gruden's sitting there is going, no, watch this. I can change it. I can make him the quarterback that I know he can be.
Yeah. It's the same analogy I made with Tebow with Josh McDaniels. Josh McDaniels was the one guy that was like, I'm an offensive genius enough to turn all of these idiots into fools when I turn Tebow into a fantastic quarterback. And he just couldn't do it. But, you know, he did have that playoff win against the Steelers. God bless him. Right?
Hey, Josh, he was right for one play.
Right, one play.
One play.
It was such a weird – that Tebow year was such a weird year because the Broncos would be winning these games in these kind of weird fashions where, like, Tebow was awful for, like, I don't know, 58 minutes of the 60 minutes of the game. And then the last 2 minutes, he'd be fine.
Tony, it's not weird. It's called divine intervention.
Yeah, right? And then, like, or there was one bill – it was one game against the Bears where one of their players, I think it was their running back, didn't run out of bounds. Like stayed in bounds or something, or ran out of bounds to stop the clock, and they allowed the Broncos to get the ball back, and they drove down the field. And I was at this church choir that night, and I just remember looking at the church Christmas show pageant was going on, and I remember I had to leave. My wife goes, "Why do you have to leave?" I go, "Because I got to see if I got to find out about this." Because I went out into the hallway, and I was like, "You're refreshing my phone," and I'm like, "Oh my God, they won the game!" It was like because it was dead. They were dead in the water, and they weren't supposed to win, and they were vying for a playoff spot at 8-8. And I remember going, "How is he doing this? This is insane." It's like, how is he pulling this out of his hat?
He's on his way to sainthood.
Couldn't believe it.
Just like next year, he will lead the Mets to the World Series.
Mark my words, right?
All of a sudden, he gets up there, and people are going to be like, oh, he can't play baseball. And he's hitting home runs. He's getting on base. He looks like a 3,000-plus hitter.
He's going to play in the NFL, in Major League Baseball. He is going to play for the Mets. I bet you this new GM is like, can't wait to bring him aboard. This new GM is all like, nah, we're gonna make this happen.
Yeah, it'll be Josh Daniels.
Yeah, just exactly right. By the way, I was just a little addendum to the story about my colleagues laughing at me when I said Tim Tebow would be a first round pick. That night I was at a draft party and I had a lot of drinking and I got on the phone and I was yelling at all of them. I called every one of them up and yelled at them that I was right.
No, oh, I would.
And I was doing
alcohol to do that.
I was like, hey, yeah. Tim Tebow, Broncos, first round. Ha, 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 click. And my friends later were like, man, you must have been really having a good time because all I remember is, blah, Tebow, blah, first round, blah, click. I was like, yeah, I was having a really good time. That was one of the few nights I could, you know, could cut loose and have a good time watching the NFL draft.
You called it.
I did. I did. And even, you know what's funny though? Even when I explained it, even when I went back on the air and explained it, they still were like, nah, it's more fun to pick on you. It's more, I was like, I get it. And I was like, no, it's going to happen this way. It's not going to happen because he's talented, because he's, you know, he's got first round talent. It's going to happen because there's it's ego. It's the way it works.
But I mean, you look at it as like, you know, he was during that time, he was the best college athlete.
Yeah, he was. He really was.
He wasn't the best quarterback. He wasn't the best runner. It wasn't a position. He was just the, overall the best college athlete. And you had, I'm sure, certain there were other GMs who were, who didn't think of him as a first-round talent, but he probably would have been an early second if he had fell there.
Oh, yeah,
saying, you know what, I don't know how we'll use him, but I'll find a way to use him because he's a tremendous athlete.
And all we kept hearing before the draft was this, you know, this guy was killing it in the interviews. Like, he would go into these interviews, and you know how he is. He's, you know, so positive and all that stuff. But these NFL teams were coming out going, that's a different player. That's a different guy. Well, I've never seen anything like this.
And that's the kind of guy you want in your locker room because he isn't. I mean, you have like, in some locker rooms, Dallas, you have hardened criminals. if you can bring a fresh light into your locker room, and someone like Tebow, who is just all about positive energy, and you know, hey, you know, just giving those rah-rah speeches at every moment of the, you know, throughout the course of the game, you want that positive attitude in the locker room.
Yeah, no doubt.
You want that role model.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, I mean, that probably weighed into it too. It's like, you know what, hey. Even if he doesn't see the field, he's going to be extremely happy just to be holding a clipboard on the sideline.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, 800-777-2907. Hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. As we move along, we'll talk more about the NFL and the playoff scenarios that are up for grabs this weekend, coming up next on SB Nation AM.
Now, back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
One little side note to that Tim Tebow win against the Steelers is that Tebow was, he used to put John 3:16 on his eye patch or his eye black. When he was at Florida, you know, the line, for God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son, believes in him, shall not perish, but have eternal life. So he finishes the game against the Steelers. He threw for 316 yards. He had 10 completions, which means he averaged 30.16 yards per completion. Yeah, the Steelers had the time of possession of 31.06. And the CBS's quarter hour overnight ratings was 31.6. So can I just ask this question? Am I rooting for Satan's team as a Steelers fan?
At that time, you were.
Right? Am I rooting for the Devils team?
I'm not sure why you would choose such a dark path, Tony.
He averaged, I go back to the completion, he averaged 31.6 yards per completion. So 316, 31.6 per completion. Because I had to look this up because I knew that there was some correlation to it. When the Steelers hit their second quarter interception, which led to a Matt Prater field goal in the game, that interception came on 3rd and 16. So it was a big play in that game, came on the Steelers 3rd and 16. Again, 31.06 for the Steelers time of possession. 31.6 overtime. I mean, this makes me scared that I'm rooting for a team that might be unassociated with the good Lord above.
I might be wrong in this too, Tony, but I believe that game took place on March 16th.
Yeah. Boy, if that did, that would have been really creepy.
Yeah.
Oh, God bless Tebow, man. Yeah, if he gets to the majors and bets 316, forget it. Just walk away. Just walk away. Just get a, you know, go get a priest, go say your prayers, and just wait for the end because it's coming.
What else could he do in the majors? If he can bat 316, because there's no way he'll hit 316 home.
But he
316 hits. That's
right.
But there's got to be some other things, you know, like averages that. Yeah, every 3.16 plate appearance, he gets on base.
That's so crazy. If you found one of them, you'd go, all right, it's a coincidence, whatever. But then you'd start looking at him and like, because Adam Scheffler pointed this out. There's all of these 3-16 references in that playoff game against the Steelers that are just beyond frightening. It's a little bizarre.
Well, that's why I mean,
a little bizarre. It's a lot bizarre.
I always say he's on the road to sainthood. I mean,
he's got
to
be.
He's had, the road to sainthood is, I guess, what, producing 3 miracles?
Apparently so,
and he's
yeah.
at 2?
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy.
You know, saved, it was a woman or a man on an airplane?
Yes, he did. Yes, that's right. And I totally forgot about that.
And then there was the one, I think, recently during spring training. So someone had like a heart failure or something like that, and he just prayed over that person.
And that person survived.
And that person survived. So, I mean, we're one miracle away from just saying, you know what? You got to make him a saint. Saint Timothy.
Oh, my God. Everybody's going to go. People are going to want to touch him and ask him to bless their child. It's going to be weird. It's going to be weird.
I mean, the only time he gets angry now is when he's commenting on the SEC.
I have a friend of mine who's a Florida Gator fan, and he puts on – there's a guy on Twitter – that has bought every Tebow jersey he's ever worn. Like from Florida to Denver to Patriots. Remember he was with the Patriots for 6 seconds and the Eagles and the Jets.
It was 3.16 seconds.
Yeah, 3.16 seconds, right. Exactly. I think he was with the, if I'm not mistaken, I think the NFL teams in which he had a cup of coffee with or longer, Denver, the Jets, Patriots, and the Eagles. I think, was he with the Eagles for a camp or a period of time?
Yeah, that one was 3.16 days.
Yeah, right. So nevertheless, this guy's he went out and bought every jersey, that's including the Columbia Fireflies, the Mets when he was with spring training with the Mets, the Binghamton Rumble Ponies, and the All-Star jersey. Like whatever they sell that has Tebow's name and number on it, this guy has bought. He puts it on Twitter, and I'm like...
What? I'm not going to slight the guy from buying minor league gear because that's always awesome.
Minor league gear is great.
Awesome. That makes, you know, go out and get it. If you have a name player, go for it.
Yeah, that's minor league gear is awesome. It's really cool, especially when your team has got a funny name or some sort of weird mascot. You know, whatever. That's when it's cool.
Right,
in Colorado Springs, they were the Sky Sox, and I was like,
I'm going to let inspiring. You know right now. This will be his year.
Okay.
Because he is 31 right now.
Oh, no.
So when he's, I guess we'll say 31 and a half.
Oh, my God. Forget it.
In February.
That's no. Don't even go there. You're freaking me out. I'm now I'm now wigged out on this.
On February 14th.
I'm not going to make it.
February 14th, because that'll be his half year birthday. He will. That's when it'll be announced that he has made the starting rotation for the Mets.
Oh my God!
He's a full time position player for the Mets.
Don't freak me out, man. You're gonna freak me out if that happens. Gosh, it's like the good Lord's toying with us. I know you should. You should. By the way, just to rewind that for that game, that was one of those games where I don't know how many of you out there have ever had a loss where America just kind of wants to remind you of it every single time they possibly can. There was not a place I could go in any store that didn't have a replay of this play to Demaryius Thomas over and over again to showcase how awesome their big screen TVs were. Like it didn't matter if I went into Sam's Club, Target, Walmart, any sort of store that sold televisions. If I walked by a TV, that play was on all the time. It was like on a loop.
We even talked about it the other day.
Yeah.
When we were talking about when you and I both watched that video of NFL teams walk-off touchdowns or
walk-off exactly.
plays.
Yep.
That was the Broncos.
That's
so
right.
You got to see that highlight. Of course, they sped it up.
Because
Demaryius Thomas is that fast.
Because it's so unfathomable. Like, he just dumps it to Demaryius Thomas. Demaryius Thomas is like, because at the time, Dick LeBeau was playing cover zero because he didn't think that the kid could throw it downfield. He's like, no reason to have safety help, right? Where is he going to throw? We're just going to stack the box. We were more worried about him running the ball. And he finds Demaryius Thomas and he goes, bye. There's nobody there. And Tebow's a hero for just throwing a simple pass over the middle to a guy that was open and had nothing. There's no stealer in sight. My jaw's on the floor going, I don't believe this. Oh my God, I'm never going to forget this for the rest of my life. I'm never going to forget this. The Steelers went to Denver and lost to this guy who threw for 316 yards and averaged 31.6 yards per completion. Oh no, we're going to hell. Steelers. We always find a way, don't we? Golly, lose to Oakland. Broncos and Tebow. Oh my goodness. So it's the NFL's so great. It's like I can remember losses of my other teams that I root for, like in the NBA and whatnot, but for some reason football hurts more, right? Like I have friends of mine who like love baseball, and like Aaron Boone's home run broke my heart. I'm like, yeah, I've never really had that, but I've had plenty of NFL games that have torn me to mental pieces. Like where I couldn't sleep. I just would like toss and turn going, you got to be kidding me. How did this happen? Everything that I dreamed about is gone. And San Diego was a part of that. After the Chargers won in 95, when they beat the Steelers in the AFC title game, I had to take a walk. I couldn't even be in my apartment. I had to take a walk. I couldn't stand being in the house. I was so broken up over that. The Steelers were, I hadn't seen the Steelers go to the Super Bowl since I was a little kid. And they were minutes away from going. Neil O'Donnell gets his pass batted down by Dennis Gibson. That's the most painful thing I'd ever seen in my life on television. Oh, God. Oh, it's great. SB Nation AM rolling along. It's Tony D and Ron Culver. Give us a buzz, 800-777-2907 to be part of the program. All right, coming up, we will get into the playoff scenarios of the NFL teams next. SB Nation AM.
If you don't know what to get your significant other for that special occasion, then head over to giftingnap.com. The team at Gifting Map has curated an amazing collection of great gifts for that special guy or girl in your life. Visit giftingnap.com today. This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, playoff picture, playoff scenarios. All right, get your thinking caps on and how this is going to work for your favorite team. I'm going to try not to confuse everybody as I go through these playoff scenarios, but they are rather interesting. The Saints taking on the Steelers, that is on Sunday. The Saints can clinch home field advantage to the NFC with a win. Now, they can with a tie and a Rams loss, or a Bears loss and a Rams loss. So if the Bears and Rams both lose, it doesn't matter what happens to the Saints, they can win, they can clinch home field advantage. Saints clinch a first round bye with a tie or a Bears loss or a Rams loss. I thought the Saints have already clinched a first round bye. No?
Not with yet. The win?
Not yet. My God, what? Man, I'm glad we don't play 18 games during the regular season. My God, right? Imagine if we played 18 games, everybody would be still alive for the postseason.
Everybody.
Right? If we had two more weeks attached onto this thing, they would be like, oh yeah, everybody's still around. Everybody's still got a lot. You know, don't you go to sleep, Buffalo. You're still kicking around.
Kind of feels like Oprah's running the NFL. You get a playoff spot.
Right. You get a scenario. The Rams can clinch a first round bye with a win, a Bears loss, or they tie and a Bears loss. Man, these ties make it all confusing. I wish you'd just eliminate ties and just go with wins and losses. So basically, if the Rams win and the Bears lose, the Rams clinch a first round bye.
Right.
Different than home field advantage through the playoffs, but they clinch a home. Again, I thought they already clinched it. See, it's crazy for me. Dallas, I know those of you out there are Cowboys fans and you're wondering about your Cowboys who have not clinched the NFC East yet. How do they get in? Well, they clinched the division with a win. That's it. They're playing Tampa Bay. Win, they're in. That's it. But if they should tie, Philly lose, Washington lose. Or if Philly and Washington both lose, Dallas wins. Dallas gets into the playoffs, all right, if they tie and Minnesota loses. So if they lose, they're still going to be floating in murky waters. But if they win, they'll earn a playoff berth by clinching the division. But if they should tie Tampa Bay, God forbid, and Minnesota loses, they clinch at least a playoff berth.
So basically what you're saying, Dallas, just win.
Just win the game,
just
Dallas.
Win the game, make it easy.
Same thing here with Seattle. They play Kansas City Sunday night. That's going to be a good game. Seattle clinches a playoff berth with a win, and they also need a Washington loss.
Or tie.
Wow, they need a Washington loss or tie.
Let's just not even say tie.
I'm not even going to say tie. So, look, guys, going forward, I'm not going to throw the stupid ties in. Seattle clinches a playoff berth on one of the following conditions. Seattle wins and Washington loses. Seattle wins or Minnesota loses. Seattle wins and Seattle clinches a strength of schedule victory over Washington. They win in a Minnesota tie. I can't do it! My God! I can't do it! They still throw these stupid ties in here. Never mind. You know what, Seattle? Just win the stupid game and you clinch a playoff berth. Worry about Washington later.
Good Lord. Who are the Redskins playing again?
The Redskins are playing the Titans.
Root for the Titans this week.
Just root for the Titans this week. My God, these stupid things. All right, Minnesota is supposed to be easy. Minnesota wins, Philly loses, and Washington loses. The Vikings are in the playoffs.
That's it.
Just win the game and then hope for the best with the Philadelphia Eagles and Washington Redskins this weekend. You're in. It's 7-6-1. You're in. Kansas City. They clinched the AFC West division in a first-round bye with a win and the Chargers loss.
See, there you go. Look.
That's it.
Did you see that? You didn't have that T word in there.
No, I didn't have a T. Yeah, exactly. This is what I want.
Kansas City Chiefs, you can clinch the division if you win and my Chargers lose. It's not going to happen, but thanks for playing.
Yeah, thanks for playing. Here's the deal. Kansas City can clinch home field advantage. That's it. And this could be wrapped up this weekend if the Chiefs win, Chargers lose, and Houston loses. Or Kansas City wins and the Chargers lose, plus Kansas City clinches strength of victory tiebreaker over Houston. I don't know what the hell that means.
Victory? Are we ranking? Is there such thing as strength of schedule now?
Yeah, I guess this is called strength of victory tiebreaker.
Is it college football? Like, oh, well, yeah. You know, you played a number one, but he played two number twos. I think that's a little bit better.
Is that strength of victory schedule based on how many, like how badly they beat Seattle based on some sort of points system? I have no idea what that means. I need an NFL playoff expert to kind of break that down for me. Anyway, here's the deal, Kansas City. You want home field advantage? Win, Chargers lose, Houston loses. That's it. You're done. You're good. Then it runs through Arrowhead. Texans, which, by the way, I'm going to remind people, because we talked about this yesterday. Texans are 10-4. They have a two-game lead in their division over Tennessee and Indianapolis. And yet, through the magic of the National Football League, the Texans have yet to claim the division or a playoff spot. They have not yet clinched a playoff berth yet.
That's my
favorite. 10-4. Okay? It's one thing for the division, right? It's one thing like, the division. It's another thing at 10-4. And they've yet to clinch a playoff berth.
And they need things to happen in order for them to clinch a playoff berth.
And they do. All right? So they win the South. If they're playing Philadelphia at Philadelphia. They win the AFC South with a win. Boom. They can win the South if Indy and Tennessee both lose. They have to both lose, and they would win the South because they're two up with two to play. I'm sorry, I'm laughing. But so the Texans have no playoff berth right now, right? None, right? Still fighting for a playoff berth, still fighting for the division, right? However, Ron, this weekend, not only can they win the division and a playoff berth, they can clinch a first-round bye all in a weekend in which going into it, they don't have a playoff berth at all.
What a hell of a weekend.
This is great. So imagine you Texan fans, you have no playoff berth right now. In 4 days, you could have a first-round bye.
In theory, they may not make the playoffs.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, it's hard for them, but
It's really hard.
They could miss out on the playoffs altogether, or you're saying get a first-round bye?
Or get a first-round bye.
Okay.
All right, so here's how this could happen.
God bless the NFL.
Yeah, I know. This is awesome. This is how the Texans get the first-round bye. They win, Patriots lose. All right, now there's a tie equation in here, but I'm not bringing that up.
Yep, nope.
Houston wins, Patriots lose. Texans win a first round bye. So they basically, if they win and the Patriots lose, Patriots are playing the Bills. They basically get like a three for one, right? Like they go from nothing to playoff berth, division, and first round bye.
But my favorite part is I'm looking at this. In order for them to clinch a playoff berth, they don't even have to play.
That's the next scenario. So if you're a Texans fan and you don't care about the division right now and you don't care about first round, but you're just sweating out the fact that a 10-6 Texan team could miss out on the playoffs because it could happen. At 10-4, this is how you would get into the playoffs without even playing the Eagles. Baltimore loses, Pittsburgh loses. No, any one of these scenarios. Baltimore loses, you get a playoff berth. Pittsburgh loses, they play the Saints, you get a playoff berth. Or Tennessee loses and Houston clinches the strength of victory tiebreaker over Baltimore, which I don't understand at all.
And they didn't have to play a game. They could have skipped it.
There you go.
So if the game gets canceled, I believe the game's in Philadelphia. If the game gets canceled because of weather, Houston, you can still make the playoffs. Sit back
and enjoy. Just watch the Ravens and the And by the way, wait a minute. They would know about the Ravens before they even played the Eagles.
True.
So they would know going into the game against Eagles whether at least they're in the playoffs.
Yeah, we may not even see J.J. Watt this weekend.
It's so, so cool.
Oh, no, no, wait. God. You will, because you can still get the first round bye.
It is so – I can't begin to tell you how cool it is that a team today does not have a playoff berth locked in but could finish the weekend with a first round bye in the AFC. That is awesome.
They have the
– awesome.
If you put Chargers and Chiefs tied for number one schedule, they have the second best schedule or second best record in the AFC.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, God. It's great.
And they're not in the playoffs.
They're not in the playoffs as we speak right now. Patriots clinched the AFC hat and T-shirt day with a win. Or Miami loss.
Again.
God, I'm rooting for the Bills so hard. It's not even funny.
Bring Nathan Peterman back.
I can't. I want Buffalo. I don't care. Pay the refs off. Cheat. I don't care. I don't care what you do.
Bills
beat
Mafia,
the Patriots.
You know, stand outside the hotel.
Do what
Patriots
you got to do.
Hotel all weekend and just play loud music.
Yeah, don't club Tom Brady's knee. I'm not asking for that.
No, we don't need a Tonya Harding.
Yeah, we don't need Tonya Harding. I'm not asking you for that.
No, but what we are asking is whenever the men's national team, men's soccer team goes down to Mexico to play in Mexico,
yeah,
the fans will sit outside their hotel and have a party all night long.
Oh, that's great.
They play loud music.
That's awesome.
You know, there's flares going off, fireworks going off. They do it all night long so they don't get a good night's sleep.
Oh, please.
That's all we're asking Bills. That's not too much to ask Bills Mafia.
No, not at all.
Seems like something they would do anyways.
Just go to Foxborough and make this happen.
Bring a couple tables and just dive on them.
The Steelers, this is a little more daunting at 8-5-1. Boy, this three-game losing skid really hurt them. Steelers clinched the AFC North. They need a win and a Baltimore loss. They got to play the Saints. Steelers got to play the Saints at the Superdome. Yikes. The Steelers clinch a playoff berth. And this is the thing that's really scary. They could go out there and play the Saints and beat the Saints. And it could give everything they have and beat the Saints and still not have a playoff berth clinched if the Ravens beat the Chargers and Indianapolis or Tennessee, either one of those two teams wins their game. So that's what's scary for the Steelers, is that they're likely going into week 17 still needing help to not help, but still needing to either help themselves or needing help to just to make the playoffs. It's very unlikely that the Steelers are going to clinch a playoff berth. Indianapolis is playing Jacksonville. No. I got to find out who Indianapolis is playing. Tennessee is playing Washington on Sunday. I think they'll beat Washington. So Pittsburgh, even if they beat the Saints, still need the Colts and Titans to help them and just to make a playoff berth. But they'll know going into the Saints game whether or not Baltimore loses on Saturday and whether or not a win would clinch the North and give them the playoffs anyway. If Baltimore wins that game and Indianapolis or Tennessee wins that game, Steelers, there's nothing they can do. They can win the game against the Saints and still get hurt.
And the other takeaway from all this is that Week 17 games do actually matter because the sixth seed cannot be won in the AFC this weekend.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. You know, it's funny. It's the big argument for against the 18 game schedule was that, like, you would have these. What if you have teams that have wrapped up the playoffs and they have to play, like, they go 3 weeks without playing? It doesn't seem like that would happen. It seems like, you know, unless you have a couple, there's always a scenario that will play out. I think you add more scenarios and more possibilities and it muddles this even more. I think if you have 18 games, this sheet would be even bigger of teams that were still technically in it. And they didn't even do in this article, they didn't even do Titans, Colts, Dolphins, Browns that are still technically in the hunt and the myriad of things that they need to have happen.
Because they can't, none of those teams can clinch a playoff berth this weekend.
So next weekend that's going to, if the Titans win and the Rams, not the Rams, the Colts win and the Dolphins win, And they play Jacksonville. Miami plays Jacksonville. Then you'll start seeing a little bit more of that where you go, okay, Miami gets in with a win and here's a whole bunch of teams that need to lose.
Yep.
That kind of thing. So,
and the NFC, yeah. NFC could be wrapped up this weekend. We could have meaningless games going into week 17.
Yeah, we probably, yeah. Oh my God. It's crazy. Crazy. Texans, good luck to you. I just want to say that. Good luck to you because it could be a big weekend for you.
Or
party hard in Houston. Or a terrible one. Are you still maybe going, how in the God's name have we not clinched a playoff berth yet?
What if they started the season 0-3 and then end the season?
Oh my God. Can you imagine that?
Bookending it.
Bookending it. Three losses. Oh God. Two losses to clinch to get out of that thing. Oh my God. That's great. 800-777-2907 on SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Speaking of the Chargers, we were talking about them, and they'll play Baltimore coming up on Saturday. I guess Keenan Allen is expected to play? Is that true?
That's the rumor. Coming?
That's the rumor? Well, that'll be good.
Him and Melvin Gordon.
Melvin Gordon, too, right? He should be back.
Yeah, Melvin Gordon, I think, is more certain at this point.
Okay, very good. I hope so, because the Ravens' defense is really good. And you're going to need all your weapons if you're going to beat Baltimore.
I think technically all you really need to beat Baltimore is just, you know, have Phillip Rivers do his thing and just have your defense stop Lamar Jackson. Because I don't know anybody else on Baltimore's team.
Not me. Well, he is their leading rusher. So,
I'm going to go on a limb. He's also the leading passer.
I would think so right now, yes. Oh, Baltimore, you kill me.
By the end of the game, he'll be the team's leading wide receiver, is that, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep, exactly. Remember when Flacco beat the Broncos in that cold day? Everyone in Denver thought the game was over, and he threw that Hail Mary at touchdown, went into overtime.
Yep.
And they got the interception of Manning and kicked a field goal. It was like, wait a minute. What's happening here? Where's Peyton Manning? Why is Peyton Manning out of my playoffs now? And this Flacco guy is going to go to the AFC title. And then they beat the Patriots. They used to beat the Patriots pretty good. They used to play the Patriots really tough in the postseason. They beat them that one year where Ray Rice ran on top of them. Then they beat them one other year. Then Lee Evans dropped a pass one year that would have hit, that Baltimore would have won and beat them again. It's a little bit of a kryptonite to Brady in the postseason was the Ravens at one particular point in time. Now Lamar Jackson's turn. That should be a really good game Saturday night, though, against the Chargers. And I'm pulling for the Chargers because I like Phillip Rivers and I want to see him go pretty far. SB Nation Radio.